Well, good morning once again. My name is Pastor Norlin van Beek. I remember this church pretty well. I can remember as a kindergartner coming here, and every year as church or school started, we gathered at First CRC and had a dedication service. And so I remember coming here for quite a few years just for that. Someone handed me a picture a while back, and it was of my grandpa. He was the board president, and he did part of the service, and it was kind of scary. I look like him. I thought that was me standing up front. So I guess that means I'm getting old, and I hope only half as wise as he was. I was at Ironton Christian Reformed Church for about 10 years, and the last 3.5 years I've been at Inspiration Hills. And prior to all that, I was in business here in Sioux Center. My wife Sherry's here with us. We had 5 kids, and we now have 10 grandkids, and they are kind of scattered around a little bit. Our oldest daughter lives here in town. Our oldest son is a pastor, just moved to Edina, and ran into Howie and Vicki Hall. They were just moving into that church, and he was in Lansing before that, Lansing, Illinois. Our son Ryan lives on a farm east of town here a ways. Our son Chris is a youth pastor at Alton Reformed, and our daughter Kelsey teaches math in Council Bluffs in a pretty tough school. Praise God for the opportunity to be with you this morning. A lot of familiar faces, and it's just an honor and a privilege each morning to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And that's what Sundays are, right? They are a celebration of Christ and his victory and his resurrection. Part of leading up to that, we have scripture verses from the Old Testament, and I'd like to invite you to join me there, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read the first 9 verses, and these are pretty familiar words, but they were probably the most memorized words in the Hebrew and Jewish culture. This was the first scripture verse that you would have been taught. This was the first scripture verse you would have had to memorize. And it is a set of verses that, in its context, you have to remember the people of Israel just coming out of Egypt. They're living in a time of chaos, trying to figure out who they are and where they belong. And God gives them the instruction, not only with Deuteronomy 6, but also with the Ten Commandments and how to live in relationship with God and each other. And so these are critical words and instruction for the people. So let's read together. There's going to be a purpose given for what Moses is instructing in the context, and then there's a commitment that is asked for as well. So let's read together. These are the commandments, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach to you to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Here's the reason. So that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God of your fathers promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, as we have your word before us, we pray for your spirit to guide us and lead us in truth and understanding, in conviction and in following, Lord, all that you teach. Give us the strength and courage to do that. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a bunch of slides we're gonna run through. We're gonna keep right here. The words that we're gonna look at is impress. How many have people in your life that have impressed you? Show your hands. Who have people in your lives that have impressed you? We all do, right? We receive information, we see things, we are impressed. There is a good impression, and there are negative impressions. If I would have driven up in a Cadillac limousine, how impressed would you be? I wouldn't be too impressed if a pastor showed up in a limousine, I know that. I hope you wouldn't be either. But there are ways of impressing negatively and positively, and they all become a part of who and what we are. They all become a part of our character, part of how we live our lives. So the instruction that we're getting here is to impress. Impress who? Impress our children. And how? We're going to talk about them, tie them, and write them. The decrees and the laws that were instructed by God, given to Moses to teach the children. So talk about them, walk about them, walk with them. And there's some language in here that says when you lie down and when you get up, when you sit and when you walk. In other words, no matter what time of the day it is, it's always a good time to be talking and walking with the precepts of God, to teach them to your children, to impress on them the importance of them. And then there's that word, tie them. That's a little, every time I read that, it's like, what does that really mean? But to tie them in that culture was literally to tie a bracelet-like thing to your head that had a little box on it. And they would put scripture verses in there to remind them and help them memorize. But the word that's even used here is even more than that. It's to almost chisel into their brain the memory of these decrees. Another word says to sharpen them, and so to impress and point that to them. But the real focus I want to look at is how we do that, how we impress them. So let's look at some, first of all, the definition. In admiration and respect, make a mark or design, right? You can take a coin, press it into your flesh, take it off, it leaves a mark. We used to take silly putty and put it on colored newspaper, and it would leave an impression on your silly putty. There are lots of ways in which we impress or make a design or mark. Next one. The Hebrew word in here, though, has more of the idea of brand. I'm not suggesting that we brand our children. That was funny. You can tell. We don't know. That really wasn't funny, was it? We don't want to brand our children, but it's so important to leave a mark, to leave something behind. Nowadays, we see lots of tattoos, and I really don't have anything against tattoos except for how many and where they are, and but they tell a message, right? They say a lot about that person. You know, in World War II, a lot of guys, especially Navy guys, came home with a specific tattoo about Navy. Marines do it. Now, everybody does it, and a lot of it has some very specific meaning to why they have the tattoo that they have. So it's all about leaving this mark or leaving a brand, and we're going to talk about brand next. So I grew up on a farm. Anybody ever branded cattle before? There's a few. Not the right church for this. I knew that coming in, I guess, but it's a stinky business, and it was not particularly fun, especially when you were doing it with calves, you know, branding and putting a mark on it. And it was an important thing to do. In the fall, we would turn the calves loose in the field after having harvested the crop, and at night we would go out, bring them back in. Well, one night we had a small steer that decided that he was bigger than my horse and decided to try and take us, and then went through the fence, down the road, crossed the yard into the neighbor's cattle yard, and jumped in with those cattle. Went over there, and we could pick him out immediately because of the brand. That identified that steer as ours. What Moses is trying to instruct and what God is trying to tell the people is to leave a mark so that they have the brand, they have what will mark them as God's people. Remember, before this, Abraham had a covenant made with God. God said, "You will be my people, and I will be your God, and I will bless you. And you are to be a blessing to others." Those words echo throughout all the ages in the church, that we are called to be a people to bless others in the same way that Christ was called and blesses us. But there are other things and other brands that are around us all the time. So let's go to the next one. Anybody recognize that? What is that? Now, again, this is probably in the right church. No red ones, right? Just so you know, I sold John Deere farm equipment for a few years, so I had to put that up there. How you see that, you immediately know or have a perception of whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, right? No. Or if we're for it. And there's other ones out there, but anyway, next brand. Recognize this. Monster. Good or bad? Wake you up, but after that, I don't know. So, but you immediately think of something that as it relates to that, correct? So next thing. This is getting a little more dated. Air Jordan, yeah. Actually, 5 years ago, this was still the most recognized brand in the world. And Jordan's the one that kind of started this whole branding thing. You immediately know that this is supposed to be quality, supposed to help improve your game, though Mark wouldn't be able to do that. Sorry, Mark. That goes back to our playing ball together. But you immediately identify with something, good or bad, with a brand, right? So the next one. These are some of the things that are impressing us and our children today, right? For better or worse, they are impressing on us something. A couple years ago, we have this wilderness camp by the hill where the kids go down and they basically sleep in a raised tent, cook everything on an open fire, and no cell phone. Even if they tried to sneak it down there, there's no cell phone service down there. So Friday, when the parents are coming to pick them up, he's standing by my door looking at his phone, trying to find out where his mom is. And I asked him, I said, "So how was that having no cell service down at Wilderness?" It's about a 12-year-old old kid. He goes, "It was awesome." I was surprised. I figured he'd have all sorts of complaints. He said, "No, this thing is miserable. You know how much pressure I am under? If I don't answer or respond in time or don't say something right, this is what's part of what's shaping our kids." All of these things are shaping our kids. And so while this is being pushed and bombarding them, what are we doing to push back? What are we doing to impress them to silence this, or at least be a louder voice than this? Next one. How are we impressing our kids? Are we impressing them with the idea of you deserve this? Into this right, privileged attitude? The fancy stuff that we have, our work, our schedules. How crazy are our schedules? We barely have time for anything anymore. All of those things are forming and impressing our kids. Next one. There are people. We all raised our hands when we said, is there anybody that impresses you? Well, they are being impressed constantly by both good and negative things. Being impressed by, they're leaving a mark on our kids, on us. How are we responding? Next. Anybody recognize that, right? This is the right church, right? How are you impressing your community? One of the things, we have a church plant down in New City, Kansas, Ryan Pelton. One of their driving things has been, how does the community perceive us? Will the community notice if we're gone or not? If we are not here, will the community know that we are no longer here? What impact? How are you impressing your community? How is your church impressing you and your children? We're going through a search process, right? How are you going to impress the guy you call? There are so many things that influence us and speak into our hearts and our lives that either draw us closer or pull us apart. And every time that we open this Bible, this Word, there's the voice of the world and the voice of the Holy Spirit, and there's a debate going on all the time. Is this the truth? Oh, it might be the truth, but it's a little out of date. Are we impressing our children with the Word of God? There are so many ways that we can come up with gimmicks and sales pitches and all sorts of things to try and attract our youth, our kids. But this is still the most powerful thing that we can use in their hearts and in their lives. And the part that's hard is that so much of the world tries to bend us to the ways of the world, and we're trying to stand firm on this. We're trying to make this the louder voice in their life. How do we do that? I don't have near all the answers. I love Christian school. Our kids all went there. I did. That's an important part, but it starts at home. Don't be a parent that says that's the school's responsibility. No, it's your responsibility as a parent or a grandparent or even as a church. How? How do we make this the megaphone in their life? Go to the next slide. Scripture tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Often people ask me, why in the world, including my daughter, why in the world would you go to Inspiration Hills? You just went through seminary, you just got a church. And her question was, did you have to go to seminary to have this job? And then I said, no. Well, then why did we have to go through all that for? Because they were growing up when I was in school. Why do we have to go through all that? So so that this would be planted well in my heart, so that as we minister to kids and adults, that would be the megaphone. We get kids from kindergarten through 12th grade, we get college kids, and more it's becoming a mission field. I don't have all the most recent numbers, but about 10 years ago, well, let's go back further, about 50 years ago, one out of every 20 kids came from a trauma affected or some kind of brokenness in their home. You know what the number today is? It's nearing one out of every four and climbing rapidly. And that, what that means is they're coming from homes of single parents, either divorced or never married or some other kind of trauma. We get single moms, we get single dads, we get college students from every faith walk you can imagine. And we have the opportunity and the privilege, as do you, to use the Word of God, to preach Christ. And there are all sorts of temptations of trying to use gimmicks or sales pitches or cute things to attract people to come. But it's our knees. It's getting on our knees and asking and praying for the Holy Spirit to bring people in and allow the Spirit to do the work. But it also calls us to be ready. Paul tells us to be ready to give an account for the joy that you have. Are you giving an account? The mark that we're leaving behind is one that Christ has left for us. The mark that he has on his hands and his feet because he loves you. And that's the first message that we tell the kids and anyone that comes, that God loves you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He made you and knew you, had the design for you before the foundations of the world were ever laid. That's how well he knows you. That's how much he loves you. And he proved that by sending his son. We need to respond and ask the Lord Jesus into our heart. And some of you might be thinking, well, that's kind of mundane. That's really not all that impressive. But it is if the Holy Spirit's working. To watch these kids hear that message, and they maybe have heard it 100 times. But to watch these kids respond. Sometimes it breaks my heart, sometimes it thrills my heart, either because of where they are or because of who they are and where they've been. And having them respond by dedicating their heart and their life to Christ is an amazing thing to witness. And then to sit in my office and hear time after time people that come back 20, 30, 40 years later and say, this place changed my life. And I go, no. This place didn't change your life. Holy Spirit changed your life. Christ changed your life. You just were here when that happened. Be the place where that happens. Be the family and where you can see and watch your kids accept Christ. Be the church where you can celebrate the freedom in our lives and our kids' lives when they learn how much God loves them. One of the things that always bothers me is we send kids on service projects. They come back, they give a little report, and that's it. How much do we celebrate what went on there? How much do we inquire about what that did to their heart and their life while they were gone? We're missing opportunities daily of allowing our kids and even our adults to bear witness of what God's doing in their heart. And that's the fuel. That's the energy. That's the spring of living life and water coming up that brings joy and excitement to the body. How exciting to hear somebody profess who Christ is. When maybe we were sitting by somebody's bed watching them breathe their last. God gives us all sorts of opportunities to impress our children, to impress those around us, but mostly on how God, through His Son Jesus, is impressing us and leaving His mark. The hands pierced, His feet pierced, leaving a mark of His love for us. We get the opportunity to celebrate that love in communion. And I get the opportunity to serve that and to lead that again, and it's profound. It's an amazing mystery of what God has done, and we can miss it. We can come up, we can partake of it, we can go sit down, we can say thank you. But how much of a mark does it leave on our life? How much of an influence will that be tomorrow as you go about your work? Do they know the joy that you have? Do your children know the joy that you have? I pray they do. I pray that you will leave a mark as Christ has left a mark on you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your gifts, for your blessings, for the opportunities, Lord, you give us to worship and serve you. We praise you, Lord, for our school and all the opportunities that we have in that and through that. But Lord, help us. Help us in every way to change, to transform our hearts and our lives to lives of joy and impressing others if we are not doing that. If we're doing it marginally, Lord, give us a boost. Give us your Spirit. May it be, Lord, an emphasis in our hearts and our lives so that we may be a louder voice by your Spirit than the world. Lord, now speak to us as we partake of this mysterious supper. Lord, may we truly commune with you. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.